listening to the good news station, WCNO Palm City.
And the question is, did the thorny soil get turned into good soil? Okay. This is what he says in chapter 2 of his letter. Yeah. For you know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we had suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness of God to speak to you the gospel of God amidst much opposition. For our exhortation doesn't come from error or impunity by way of deceit, parentheses, we're not trying to manipulate you, but we speak what we've been approved of by God entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. We're not trying to please men, but we're pleasing God who examines our heart. We never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is a witness. Nor did we seek glory from men. We didn't point you to ourselves. We pointed you to Jesus.
And they weren't collecting money.
But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become so dear to us. For you, brethren, recall our labor and hardship, how working day and night is not to be a burden to any of you. We proclaim to you the gospel of God. And you're our witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved towards you believers. We modeled the Christian life. And as you know, we were exhorting and encouraging, imploring each of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it as the word of men, not as the word of men, for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, and as you also endured the same sufferings in the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. So obviously, Paul developed a church there, and when I was there in 2001, we were standing in the an old church that was from, I think, the 8th or 9th century that's downtown in Thessaloniki. And this church, the church movement, is still thriving in this part of Greece. So here's an area that Jesus describes as thorny soil that actually became very good soil. All right? So.
Yeah, because a lot of us can be dissuaded by the parable of the sower. Like, oh, you know, there's no hope for this one, there's no hope for that one. And this corrects a lot of that.
Well, you're exactly right, because when you read the parable of the sower without reading the rest of the New Testament,
yeah,
you would think that Jesus is condemning or just saying that, okay, these guys are never going to make it. But yet the reality of what the apostles and the disciples did throughout the first century was they went to that soil that was beside the road, and they explained. They went to the rocky places, and they helped people develop deep roots that went down. They went to places like Thessaloniki, where there was commerce and the cares of the world, and they established a thriving church through personal relationships and caring for people and modeling and not manipulating, but just speaking the gospel in a very relational manner.
Instead of being arrogant like ignorant people who have read this and go around preaching fear and condemnation, as opposed to being a servant of those they encounter.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of that, you know, fire and brimstone stuff.
Yeah, I think the parable of the sower is Jesus giving us a clue as to what kind of soil we are going to encounter. And
well, I never heard, I'm so glad to hear this, because I always took it to be the negative.
Yeah, and I think he's giving us an encouragement that he can make that hard soil beside the road, really good soil. Just look at you and me, okay? That he can take the rocky soil and allow people to develop deep personal roots in Christ.
Yeah.
And he can.
I was a rejecter of Jesus. I thought that's foolishness.
Right. And people that are so caught up in the affairs of the world, and we know many in our town and in our community here, that these are people that all of a sudden can have a revelation and totally change their path. So to me, the parable of the sower is Jesus giving me a heads up of the challenge before me. And I'm to recognize what type of soil is, and then I'm to do my part to water and fertilize.
Yes, everyone you encounter.
So
we should be the servant. Paul said, esteem others greater than yourself, because, you know, I was in a church attendance for a group of very wealthy people that do believe in Jesus and follow him. And it's turned out that that church is a very friendly church. Well, when I first got there, a little bit of my prejudice, though I was brought up with, wealth, and that changed later on. But so, you know, these people, so I've always kind of like, oh, you know, you're trusting in your money, like I'm some sort of judge. And then all of a sudden I get into this church where the people really do love other people, and they're not haughty or arrogant. And I think the Lord spoke to me and said, sometimes it takes great wealth to learn how poor you are. Jesus has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith, but sometimes wealth can block you. So this is what came to me. Sometimes it takes great wealth to realize how poor you are. That's why you have some people who are sitting in mansions and alone, and then nobody goes to reach them, but they are reachable, just like the Muslims.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We can reach them.
The reality is the thing that is significant the most in our lives is our relationships with the people around us.
Relationships. Everything you say is about what I've learned late in life. And just recently I went to bed and I said, Lord, I said, what happened with that? I said, do you want to be worshipped first, down on my knees, oh God, you're great, or do you want me to have love you first? Thinking, you know, is he a God of lovers? And of course, it's funny, my eyes were opened up and it's like, of course, it's love first.
Mm-hmm.
And that praise and worship and sacred worship is a fruition of a real love.
Well, the reality is our culture has been really bombarded by a philosophy that it's really centers on self.
I, me, mine.
And mankind is the source and the standard of morality. Truth is fluid for the situation.
Truth is fluid, yeah, flexible.
Each individual
you believe.
Yeah, each individual should decide what's best for themselves.
If it feels good, do it.
And pursue it regardless of the consequences, of their personal or societal consequences. And our culture tells us that personal happiness should be our goal in life. Well,
who said that?
Actually, I said this. I wrote this in our newsletter yesterday.
Oh, did you?
And I thought, you know, because it really succinctly helps me understand what I'm up against.
If somebody wants that newsletter, where would they? How would they get it?
Go to seekthelamb.com.
SeekTheLamb.com.
And our May newsletter, May 2026, has an article that this paragraph is taken from. But I just wrote it down, and I think it's very helpful to see what are we up against.
Wow.
We're not going to convince people that are the hard soil, the rocky soil, or the thorny soil by saying, the Bible says this.
Yeah.
No, we have to help them understand the paradigms that they're living in and help them suddenly shift their paradigms to a spiritual, biblical worldview paradigm, which is, when that happens, everything changes. It's changed for you. It's changed for me. So
earn equity. I like the way you say that. Is that your own saying? I mean, that was really great.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people jump on other people. You know, they get born again. And, of course, what's the one to do? I found God's real. I mean, I remember as a kid, teenager, I said, if I ever find out that there really is a God, I'm going to tell all the world. And once that happens, and this miraculous encounter, you just want to tell everybody, and you want to take them by the collar and go, hey, you got to get this too. And no. You need to earn the equity.
Right. The challenge is that many portions of the Bible that tell us what God thinks about us, what he says we are, how he says we should live for him, and especially the people around us, how we should protect the family unit that's been disregarded by so many.
And none of it's a burden. The world says it's a burden.
Right.
But these things set you free, the disciplines.
Right. But these portions of the Bible, many so-called Christians consider them not applicable to our modern times. They're irrelevant. They're culturally out of date. And as a result, and you've met them and I've met them, there's often confusion in among many of our brothers and sisters regarding the question of how do we followers of Jesus think about our life, who we are, and what is the path that really leads to joy and peace and fulfillment?
And we must remember that it says the mind of man is enmity with the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Do you trust in your mind as your God or in the Spirit of God?
The search has taken many to the mountaintops of experience, the depths of knowledge, and the latitudes of freedom, which often fall outside the counsel given to us by the Bible. The most published book in history that claims to be written by God's Spirit through men, which has a solid historical basis and has been shown throughout our history to have valid answers to the questions of life. This is our challenge for us, Red. Where do we go for direction in our life in these years? Our culture, what our inner self is telling us, or what God's Word is? And you and I have been given the Word of God, and we've been given the opportunity in our community to be friends and be servants of the people around us, and at just the right time to give them, just like Philip did to the Ethiopian eunuch, Peter did to the Roman centurion, and Paul and his team did to those Thessalonians,
you know,
give them the words of life.
You know, it may seem novel, and it sounds, I remember all of a sudden I was in my car, and I remember what, oh, it's a privilege to serve. Now, this sounds very simple-minded. You think, this guy's really dumb. I said, oh, so it's a privilege to serve others. And the Holy Spirit went right through me. Now, I'm a 29-year-old, 30-year-old guy, and I felt the presence of the Lord. I went, wow. I mean, you think a 30-year-old guy would know that being in service of others gives you joy, but we're blind to that stuff, you know?
Just a moment.
Is that your wife?
So.
It must be your
wife. I think we're out of time. So we're going to
always take the call of the spouse.
We're going to
take a break.
We're going to wind it up and continue.
All right. We'll do that.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Portions of WCNO's broadcast day are underwritten by Palm Beach Ironworks, specializing in structural steel fabrication and installation. Palm Beach Ironworks also provides machine shop services, welding, press brake, shear and brake, and they work with steel, stainless steel, or aluminum. Located at 7768 Belvedere Road in West Palm Beach, Palm Beach Ironworks can be reached at 561-683-1816.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, eternity's holy King. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose word brings on the evening. Baruchu Adonai HaMevorach le'olam v'ed. Heaven's gates open up, with understanding you order the seasons, creating day and night, turning darkness into light, arranging the stars to your pleasing. Baruch Hu.